Spirit Radio Podcasts.
This guest must be having a very positive influence on me because a dear friend of mine was dropping off something to my house, popping it in the letterbox for me while I was in work. And she sent me a voice message on WhatsApp to say, double checking my house number. And the reason was because she got confused because my house now, in front of the apartment, it's got kind of steps leading up to it, and there's lovely hanging baskets and window boxes that are hanging over the railings and all sorts of trees that I've put loads of effort into. And she said, I just got confused because I didn't think that was your house. I didn't think you were green-fingered at all. So that just shows you. I've clearly come on and the plants are managing to stay alive, but it has been tough during the drought over the past while. So we're going to be getting advice on that. I know there's lots of rain this morning, but there's due to be more sun as well. So how do we look after our plants, especially when we have that kind of extreme heaps of rain and then lots of heat as well? And by the way, if you have any gardening questions, you can get in touch with us on 087-888-9292. Because I have with me in studio Anne-Marie Baring from the Ducky Garden School. Anne-Marie, how are you this morning? How's your garden doing with this weather that we're having?
Oh my God, it's brilliant. It's really, I'm really so happy.
You're happy for the rain.
My grass is becoming green again, which is really nice because a lawn or a grass area is like, it's like water. You know, then you have the islands of flowers or the islands of flower beds or planting around the edges. And that's the way I kind of look at my garden. It's like the grass is the water and everything else is the shore.
And the thing is, that's been difficult as well because, you know, if it's sunny in usual years, you might water your grass, water the plants more, all that sort of stuff. But obviously there's a hose pipe ban at the moment. So it's, you know, just use your watering can and that's it. So we've just had to watch the grass wither away. But it's been fascinating to see how quickly it comes back to life.
Absolutely. And grass is the one thing you should never water. Unless again, it's a new lawn and you have to start, get the seed going. You have to help it with a bit of extra liquid, etc. But different types of grasses go to sleep during drought. Some will go to sleep, some will go, you know, i.e. go dormant. Some will pop up and produce lots of seed so that when the water comes again, they can start growing again. So grass is made up of all sorts of different types of grasses, and each grass is, a lawn is made up of individual blades of grass. So, you know, they each one will react in a different way. And it's a very tough plant. And in Europe, in say Mediterranean countries where they have a lot of drought, they use different types of grass to what we normally have here. But the grass definitely in a drought, never, never, never dream of watering it, especially if it's an established lawn. And the rain has started again, which is great. Now, it takes quite a while for the rain to penetrate down because the ground is very, 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 very dry. I mean, so in some cases there's 70% moisture loss, which means there's very little water moisture in the soil. So therefore, in an established garden, you're lucky because your roots will be deep. And they'll be searching out any bit of water that's there.
And they'll try and find it.
They will.
Talk to me about other things we need to consider during the drought, and especially bearing in mind the hose pipe ban.
Yeah, the hose pipe ban is very important because sometimes people will put on a hose and they'll forget to turn it off. But if you have a pond with fish in it, you're allowed to top it up with water because obviously there's living creatures in it and you must keep them alive. So that is probably one of the very few cases that you're allowed to use.
Okay, that's an exception.
An exception, exactly.
And other things to keep up would be bird baths and things like that.
Yeah,
I presume.
And bird baths can be very small. They're literally big sources of water. You need to have little tiny pools in your garden, which means even a half a bucket full of water will provide water for hedgehogs. And, you know, also your ponds in your garden, your frogs. And I've quite a few frogs in my garden. Every now and then I disturb something and they hop out. And they're essential to the balance of the garden and for eating your slugs. Did somebody mention slugs?
I need a few frogs. I don't know how they'd find the balcony though, Anne-Marie.
Yeah. But the other thing, well, you've got snails, of course, will find your balcony quite happy. Of course, that is the other advantage of the dry weather, is that slugs will kind of remain fairly dormant. And again, people get very concerned about slugs because of the fact that they eat your seedlings. And I mean, they're hungry. They're decomposers. They're very happy in a compost heap, and that's really where they're happiest. But unfortunately, they don't realize that some plants that you've planted in your garden are not for their eating. I mean, hostas probably are one of the best examples, and you can protect your hostas quite simply you can have them in the ground. But if I really want to have nice hostas, I keep them in my pots. And if you keep them in the pots, and if you even put a saucer of water under your pots, slugs will not cross water. So even just a shallow basin of water or whatever under your pot will protect your hosta from slugs. And there are also other things like, you know, copper, of course, which is very effective but can be expensive. There are lots of other solutions.
I tried the slug pellets. I tried the coffee grinds.
Everything.
They still ate a few of my flowers in the window boxes.
They will. But actually, another thing too during the drought was there was very little growth because everything was kind of waiting for the spurt of water. Because we're 80% water, they're 80% water. So the weeds are now appearing. So I find I don't use any herbicides on my garden, okay, spraying or anything like that.
So what do you do?
I hoe. No, I don't actually dig them out because if you keep weakening the top of a plant, it'll eventually get a message, I'm not going to survive here, so I better maybe produce a flower and move off and set my seed someplace else, which does happen, of course. But if you keep hoeing, and I use a type of hoe called an oscillating hoe, and it's absolutely fantastic. And and by hoeing, you're also disturbing slug snails.
What about where you can't
slug eggs?
What about where you can't hoe, Anne Marie? Because where we get weeds is in the cracks in between the slate and the tiles and the front of our apartment.
Well, unfortunately, you have to get down kind of on your hands and knees. And also, boiling hot water is also a very good way of killing weeds.
Okay.
Boiling hot water. And some people use a solution of salt and vinegar or something like that as well, which can work as well to a point. But a boiling water is quite effective. And of course, getting down your hands and knees and maybe even using a screwdriver or something pointy just to get those weeds out.
Pull them out, yes. We do have those tools, but using them is part two of that.
Yeah.
But there was some spray or other that my husband did use and just killed those weeds so quickly. It did make me think, what's actually in that bottle?
Yeah, well, the active ingredient in a lot of these weed killers is a thing called glyphosate. And it's used in all sorts of weed killers. And in fact, you should look at, if you're going to use anything like that, look at what you're using and find out what it is. And in fact, glyphosate is something people should find out about and look up. So anybody's listening here is a curious, look it up and find out what glyphosate is. It's an active ingredient in a lot of things. And the other thing too, for example, noticed that I had an ant invasion on my plums, which meant that I had a sooty mold called, which was black, and it was covering the leaves. Now, if the leaves are covered and they're not green anymore, they're not able to absorb the sun's energy, they're not able to photosynthesize, so eventually they'll weaken the plant and they'll die. And this is what the other problem with drought is, that a lot of big plants are stressed, trees in particular are stressed, and some will actually even die, which is a big challenge. Especially anything that was weak. But the other thing too is, don't be in a hurry to pull things out. But quite often, something that's well established may really have died back. But if you leave it alone, you'll quite often see the regeneration, new growth coming. So don't be in too much of a hurry
to
pull everything out.
What's it good to sow then at this time of year?
Sowing this time of year again, of course, lettuces. I was very fortunate yesterday. I was down in Rustborough House. They were at the RHSI, which is Royal Horticultural Society of Ireland, had their big plant fair and they had lots of talks going on. It was absolutely amazing day. The RHSI, by the way, is an umbrella, well, I won't say it's an umbrella organisation, it's one of the biggest gardening clubs in Ireland, and it's all over Ireland. It's not just one section. And they're fortunate enough, they were asked to look after the wall garden in Rustborough, which they've been doing for the last 6 years, and it is extraordinary what they've done. And it's all volunteer work, and by volunteering there you'll learn so much there. But my point about what to grow this time of the year, my vegetable beds were coming to an end and I hadn't been very good at sowing my seeds, such as having leeks to come on, or hadn't many brassicas to come on. So I was very fortunate there that I went to this plant fair there yesterday, and there was somebody up from Baltimore, and he had lots and lots of vegetable plants for me to buy. And there's actually in Farmley, I think it's next weekend, I think they have a plant fair up there as well, and it would be well worth your while to go and visit that. Also, around the country, visit your garden centres and see what vegetables they have in modules for you to grow. I bought some chard down in a garden centre in Carlow. By the way, the Carlow Garden Festival garden trail, it's on at the moment, and I went to a very interesting talk there last Friday, and I'm going to another one down there on Wednesday, so that's very interesting. And the other thing is, you know, go and visit gardens and see what people are doing now in the gardens and how gardens look, because this is an opportunity. If you have plants that you like and you've big clumps of them, take a bit of the clump and move it into a position where you might like to see it next year. Move it And then when you've moved it, water it well, and then you'll see the height of it, and then reduce the height. In other words, cut it back a little bit. Obviously, you're going to lose the flowers this year, but it'll be in position for next year. And of course, the soil is beautiful and warm now. And because it's rained, one of the greatest things for me that has rained is now it's allowing me to feed my plants. Sweet pea, for example, suffered dreadfully in the drought. And, you know, if you start, give them plenty of water and start feeding them. And I use, I find it very, very good. And I use, there are lots of different ones which are really excellent. But the liquid seaweeds are fantastic. And it has
is
been
that for all types of plants or just
all
sweet pea?
Types of plants, tomato plants, everything. They're high, it's an all round feed. And we need to get plenty of flowers because I was speaking to a beekeeper at the weekend as well. And he said that the bees are hungry because there weren't as many flowers around because of the drought.
And it's a real issue, the threat to
yeah, and that's another reason why you should look up things like glyphosate and why you shouldn't use pesticides or herbicides. You know, there's a whole, you know, they have a knock-on effect.
Yeah, indeed. And it's yeah. We have to be really, really educated on that. And
we
also,
do. Yeah.
I need to share that it's you can start your kids young at the gardening. Matthew came to the garden centre with me. It was great because my local garden centre has a proper trolley that you can put a baby in.
Right.
Like, you know, like a normal shopping trolley, but this one is longer for all your plants. And then we took a very hilarious video of him discovering the bag of compost and helping me by putting his hand in and putting it on all the pot plants. And he had great fun. Extremely messy. But great fun.
Isn't that it, Edward? We have to make a mess.
Yes, indeed.
To learn.
We do.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved
it. And make mistakes too. Don't
forget
that.
He'll be more green fingered than I.
Yeah.
It's been great to have my guest with me in studio. If you just joined me, I've been talking to Anne-Marie Barron, giving us gardening advice. She's the founder of the Dalkey Garden School. And if you want to get in touch with Anne-Marie, you can go onto the website, dalkeygardenschool.com. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.